acrobats.
Santa Martinez.
A fake fortune teller.
Santa Lander Chief.
Acrobat Christian.
Santa Leader.
Either the lion tamer or the person who trains the bear to balance the ball. What was that one?
Senator Riggs.
Probably the human cannonball.
Senator Painted.
Given my experiences with circuses in recent years, I'd probably be the guy that messes around with the giant hamster wheel.
Senator Skull.
What was that?
Oh, it's me. Cotton candy stand? Does that count?
Senator Haberman.
I'd be the geek.
Senator Muganga.
Circus master.
Senator Deeks.
I'd be one of the guys setting up the whole circus and pitching the tent.
Something with the horses act.
And,
As I did go to clown camp, I would be a clown. Yep.
That's why you're so scary.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Shots fired.
Administrative Director Anand Urano. Excellent. Okay, that brings 10 to close. With that, we'll move to approval of the minutes. The admits were administered by the Administrative Director via email. Are there any amendments to the minutes from September 21st? Amendments to the minutes. That, we will move on to community comment. Is there anybody here from the community who wishes to comment? Community comment. We will now move into appointments.
Point of personal privilege, don't we have to vote to approve the minutes?
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we did, but maybe not.
Yeah.
What did they say?
I'll just don't ask.
Actually, don't even do it. Last year, halfway throughout the year, we started doing it. I don't know why. We checked Robert's rules, and they don't need to be voted on. So.
Okay, I'm sorry. I interrupted.
With that, the floor belongs to the Ethics Committee with their appointment.
Right. Okay, so my first person
person that I have to bring forward is the person who I've chosen to be the student at large on ethics committee, and that is Joe Robbins here. I had talked to him previously about my work on ethics, and he was always very interested in it. It came across as something that he definitely showed an interest in, and then when he didn't end up becoming involved in Senate this year, and he still wanted to be involved, I suggested this position, and then I had him fill out the application for it, and it far surpassed what I was expecting someone to answer on the application. It's something that when he filled in the questions, I could tell it was he was really passionate about it, especially involving kind of what he thinks to be a good balance of what's right in order to appease both the Senate body and also make sure that we keep the student body's best interest in mind. That was something that he really highlighted, was making sure that it's this any decisions made echo that of the student body, which is definitely an important job as a student at large. And I think that he will be great, and I'll have him just kind of introduce himself now.
Yeah, I'm Joe. I've met a lot of you. I'm really good at applications. I couldn't get involved in Student Senate this year because I play rugby and I'm doing other things and stuff like that, but I really, I've always been fascinated with ethics, and I thought this would be a good way to sort of like dip my toe in sort of and kind of get used to the whole scene here, so yeah, that's why I applied.
Would anyone like to ask any questions?
The floor is now open for questions for the candidate or ethics chair.
Should I stand up for this? Or?
Senator Sylvia.
Who's your favorite ethicist and why?
Ernest Hemingway. And because I think he didn't let his like more Bacchanalian pursuits interfere with his personal code of ethics, which was quite strong.
Senator Gledge.
Maybe I missed it, but what year are you and like what's your major?
I'm a sophomore. Major hasn't been nailed down yet, probably like philosophy or something sort of easy like that.
Okay, I yield. I also think this is a really good appointment. I've had a couple classes with him too. He's a really smart guy. Not much more I can say. I yield.
Senator Sylvia.
He went down the hall for me last year, and he's one of the few people that I debated with that I thought beat me. So he's really impressive in that regard. So I am entirely for him.
Senator Dix.
I think I'm echoing sentiment here, but in my talks with him, always found him both fluent in thought and speech. He has been a great person to discuss with, and I think he's a valuable addition.
Further discussion on the Ethics Committee student at large appointment? Further discussion. The question is called on the appointment of the Ethics Committee nominee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Abstentions? The ayes have it. Chairman Solvay, please review the candidate. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
We're no further appointments.
Oh, no.
Further appointments.
I still have to approve
sure.
both of my senators,
yes.
correct? Given.
My apologies, yes, the chair remains.
All right. And so if I could have both Senator Abouid and Senator Dix come back here so I can talk about them. I suppose I'm going to go one at a time with you guys, if that's okay, and have each of you leave and then come back and everything. All right, thank you.
My personal privilege, would it make more sense to have one at a time so that when we discuss them as individuals?
That's what I said. Sorry. I just had them both come back here because it would be easier. Arguing, they were saying the same thing, but just in two different ways. All right. Both of these senators filled out applications and got them back to me. So I'm going to start off with Senator Abouid. His application really stood out to me because of the comments he made on his strict personal beliefs in following the rules. That's something that's definitely important in ethics. All of his responses were very good above and beyond, and he really talked about how he personally values following rules, making sure that they're met, and figuring out good solutions to any problems that come across Senate. And then he also talked a lot about what he would do in the case of having a personal bias, which was what was also very important for Ethics Committee, given that our body is supposed to be an unbiased committee. So I'm going to turn it over to him to explain a little bit more if he'd like.
So my name is Mahmoud Abouid. I'm a biology and biochemistry double major. Probably not a lot of you knows me, but because I live in Nobel most of the time. But anyways, as a scientist, being ethical is the thing you need. This is what you do, because all of your research, all of your work based on you being honest with people, reach out to people and make sure to understand them. And being on the ethics committee is really important to me, because just teaching how not to prejudge people and try to work them to understand their view and why would they do certain acts towards different people, and then evaluate things from a different standpoint, from unbiased view about things. Yeah, that's it. Any questions?
Are there any questions for the appointed senator? Senator Sobe.
Who's your favorite ethicist and why?
My favorite ethicist would be my grandpa. You will learn from simple people more than you can think, because they come up, they never make things complicated. My personal belief is things are meant to be simple, not complicated, and we're the ones who make stuff complicated.
And then my second question is, how do you reconcile Democratic majorities pushing for whatever it may be, but the Constitution says otherwise?
What do you mean?
I can't think of one, it's a hypothetical about, if Senate says one thing but the Constitution says another, or students outside of Senate say one thing and the Constitution says you can't do anything about it.
Okay, so this is where we could break our bylaws when it comes then, is that if there's a majority vote towards anything, then we'll go with the Senate vote, and if I feel personally there's a certain bias, we will discuss it with the committee, and then we will take action as a student body, not as a personal view about things.
Further questions for the appointed senator? Questions? Senator Sylvia.
What's your favorite Premier League team?
That's a tough question. I want to say Manchester United.
Ideal.
Further questions for the candidate? Questions? With that, we will move on to discussion of the appointee. We kindly ask that you leave the room for discussion. With that, the floor is open for discussion of the appointed senator, Senator Sylvia.
I think based on what little I know of him and how eloquently he answered the questions and the ombudsperson clearly recommending them for this position, that we vote in the affirmative. I yield the time.
Further discussion? If not, we will move to a vote. All those in favor of confirming the appointment of Senator Aouid, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Abstentions? Senator Aouid is confirmed.
And then my last person that I'm bringing forth for appointment is Senator Dix. In his application, like the others I received, he really went above and beyond with his answers. I particularly liked his opinion on what to do in the case of where he could potentially see a personal bias. He kind of actually went through kind of a step-by-step how he would go through checking himself for a bias in any sort of situation, which I think is something that's very necessary, because there's plenty of times on ethics where you come across a situation where you could have a personal bias and you have to check out yourself and figure out whether or not you believe you are going to have a bias, and then also have the ability to come forth and converse it with the other people of ethics committee, whether or not they believe that that bias could be detrimental. So that was my main push behind him. And
so, hello, I'm Brandon Dix, junior philosophy poli sci double major. I guess the poli sci is adding some rigor there or something. other than that, I actually took a semester off college specifically to think about how I wanted to live my life, or I guess I delayed college a semester. And out of that experience, I came with a strong belief system that highlighted a set of rules for myself and following those. And from there, I have a great interest in ethical and moral action. So that's why I'm seeking this position.
Thank you. With that, we'll move to questions for the appointed senator. Senator Sylvain.
Who is your favorite ethicist and why?
It's more of a branch of ethics and virtue ethics, you know, first pioneered by Aristotle. More recently, Alistair MacIntyre represents it best. I find virtue ethics to be particularly compelling, as it's centered around the individual and their actions, how their actions influence themselves.
Further questions for the appointed senator? Questions? With that, we'll move on to discussion of the appointment. I kindly ask that you move yourself from the room. Floor is now open for discussion of the appointed senator. Senator Sobey.
So my first year, he lived with me in 2A. The point of 2A was that we would not, you know, take drugs or alcohol while being on campus. And he's been unchanging with his commitment to his ethical system, and he's never compromised that. So I think, again, because the ombudsperson recommended that.
Senator Gladish.
I've had a few classes with him, and he's a very intelligent individual, and I learned a little bit more about him tonight, and everything seems pretty compelling to vote in the affirmative, so I yield.
Senator Miller.
Similar to what Senator Gladish just said, I had a class with him last semester. He's extremely intelligent, and I think he'll be a great fit for the Ethics Committee. I yield.
Further discussion of the appointment? Discussion. With that, we will move to a vote. All those in favor confirming the appointment of Senator Dix, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Abstentions? Senator is confirmed. We have comment from the diversity chair, Singh.
Okay, so last week we brought up the subject of the entitlement of the second Monday of October, which is it's a federal holiday known as Columbus Day. Last year, it was proposed that to changing Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day on the Gustavus calendar. And so out of that, we had drafted a resolution, meaning the diversity committee of last year, a resolution that had a few points as to why we should change the name to Indigenous Peoples Day versus Columbus Day on the Gustavus calendar. And so some of the points that were highlighted in the resolution, as well as are supported by people that support changing the name, were that it's not recognized by Minneapolis as Indigenous Peoples Day. It was stated that because of Columbus Compliments, Native Americans were killed or abused, and they wanted a day in honor of Native Americans to promote Native American culture and commemorate the history of those people. So the countering perspective that came before when the resolution was proposed was that Columbus Day honors Columbus's first voyage to America in 1492. It's a federal holiday, so we shouldn't be trying to remove or change that. And then others see it as celebrating the fact that this man did something like discover a new land when people from where he was didn't believe that was even possible and really tried to hinder him from even trying to do that. So a little bit of history and background on Columbus Day. It was first celebrated and recognized in 1906 in Colorado, and then it became a federal holiday in 1937. Italians celebrated as a day of their heritage, and it's observed federally, but not necessarily locally or by the state. So currently, I think it was Berkeley, Denver, Minneapolis, and a few other cities don't recognize it. Hawaii, Alaska, Oregon, and South Dakota don't recognize it, or don't observe it. So based on this, and what happened last year before with the discussion of the resolution, we discussed a little bit in cabinet what we thought might be a possible solution for this situation. And we were thinking that maybe it'd be possible to have both days recognized on the Gustavus calendar. So we would be removing a federal holiday, and we would be recognizing and commemorating Native Americans, which is the purpose of Indigenous Peoples Day. I think because both events go hand in hand, and because both of them like conquer each other, I suppose. It would be really powerful to see both of them on the calendar together. But I would like Sam to open it up for discussion so that we can see what you all can do about it.
Thank you. The floor is open for discussion on the comments from the diversity chair. Senator Sobe.
All right, so I was the one last year who initially charged it with a group of other people to Senate. And the whole scope of it was that Columbus was not the first European to discover America, so celebrating him largely became a federal holiday due to he was a Catholic and not a communist. Like, it especially became popular in the 1950s when Red Scare happened. And it is a federal holiday, but slavery was legal, the Holocaust was legal. If you go off of what the federal government says is legal and right, it doesn't always mean it's ethical. So I'm in favor of having it just be Indigenous Peoples Day as opposed to Columbus Day, because he deserves no recognition for being the second European to discover America.
Senator Gladish.
I think what Diversity Committee just brought before us, having both holidays on the calendar, I think that's a very common sense solution to this. I was here last year and it got very nasty pretty quick. And I really don't want to wade into why I think Columbus Day should be on there, other than that it's a federally recognized holiday, and it's a bank holiday, and so people should know that they can't just go to the bank on that day. I'm sure that's a common problem here. But I think it's a good solution, and I really don't think we should be in the business of telling Congress that what they I yield.
Senator Hinnenkamp.
Yeah, I'll echo a previous senator's remarks and say that I do like this compromise, as it does recognize a little bit of the deeper meaning behind the holiday, not just the face value of it. Likewise, it adds a new dimension to a day that is perhaps controversial, but at least, at the very least, it, in a sense, brings about a new legitimacy, in my opinion, to the day. So I do like what the diversity.
Senator Dix.
I personally haven't thought about the pros or cons of Columbus Day, but I do have two comments regarding the ideas of having two holidays or 2 days on the same day and the relevance to a higher body on our discussion here. I think that by making 2 days on the same day, it dilutes both of their power. By having two celebrations or two recognitions, when you still have plenty of days with no recognitions, what you're really doing is splitting that day between the two of them. I would be in favor of different days in that case. But then, while it's federally recognized, we do have examples of it not being recognized by other places, but I think overall, since we're not mandated to recognize it by the federal government, it has no power over us, and thus it should be our own moral decisions about it.
Speaker Sweet.
I guess I, excuse me, I have more of a question for Chair Singh, and what are you trying to like achieve by this discussion? Like, are we going to vote on it? I'm sorry. God. Excuse me. And Bobby.
So right now, the diversity chair just brought forward an idea of a possible change we could make the schedule. So he wants to make a motion to the diversity chair to bring forward a recommendation to the office that we need to go to
mm-hmm.
make a change. We can do that. So
okay.
If there's a change that wants to be made, then it just has to be a motion.
Okay. Yeah, and I would just like to say if somebody feels so called to make a motion or change this in any way, that the reason that there was no resolution or anything done last year is because we couldn't get the resolution or the charge through in time. And so if you want to see something done, try to see it done today so something can actually happen by Columbus Day or Indigenous People Day. I yield.
Director Schmitz.
Just as the finance chair, I would just like to make a comment that it is a federal holiday, banks and postal service are closed. Dealing with consumer organizations, a lot of that stuff is time sensitive, getting money out, that sort of thing. So I think having a federal holiday on the calendar is extremely important, and I don't think we should remove it. I do.
Senator Antes.
My question was answered by a previous speaker. Are you?
Senator Ricks.
I would like to echo a previous speaker in saying that I believe having the two on the same day would dilute the power of both of these, both of the meanings behind it. And due to that, I would like to motion to put these two different celebrations on two separate days. Yes.
Okay, so just for the reason that we were putting both of them on the same day, I guess I didn't explain this very well. So where Indigenous Peoples Day is recognized, it is on the day, the second Monday of October. So they replaced Columbus Day with Indigenous People Day. So that's important to keep in mind. And the thinking behind having both of them on the same day is to recognize, yes, Columbus came to and found America on this day so many years ago, and we all wouldn't really be here. A lot of us wouldn't be here without him, having found this land, or some might say that, right? And so then having that along with Indigenous People Day and recognizing, yes, a lot of these people were sacrificed, or it was like a huge, a lot of people were killed, and remembering that that happened is important, and because both of those things happened together in unison, or which one happened because of the other, that was a reason for having both of them together. And so appreciating the discovery as well as appreciating or like recognizing the deaths that followed because of that discovery is why we were thinking of having both on the same day.
Senator Ricks, seeing as CINSA does not have direct jurisdiction over the college calendar, are you moving that diversity committee recommend such a change?
Actually, with the given information, I would like to remove my previous motion.
Do you yield the floor?
I would just like to add with that, the reason behind that is I believe that if we do hold these on the same day, I believe that there could be a greater campus-wide dialogue that is brought about by it, and I believe that that's ultimately where this decision should land, is with a greater dialogue by the whole student body, not just by the members in this room.
Senator Anderson.
Well, I think a previous speaker kind of aimed at my point. I had a point of personal interest as to why this was charged to the diversity chair in the first place, whether you had a group of constituents kind of come to you and say, hey, we really don't like this holiday, or what kind of was the logic behind that?
Do you yield?
I yield.
It came through a group of constituents that had a profound interest in largely the points that I made about, as a Swedish school, we shouldn't be celebrating an Italian who's 500 years late. And secondly, that we do need to do more as a college to recognize, this land used to all be owned by Native Americans. You know, no one really thinks about that. You know, we think about it as it always pertained, you know, it was just random land. And that we need to do more to have dialogues on campus about it. And just changing the calendar would be a particularly easy way to start a dialogue like that, because it wouldn't be creating any new classes or anything. It'd just be noting on the calendar, you know, the email is sent out every morning at, what is it, 1:17,
mm-hmm.
that day would be like Indigenous Persons Day, and there would be, you know, a parenthesis saying, you know, bank federal holiday, and leave it at that. I yield back to you.
Senator Sylvia.
I just kind of made my point, so I
I would just like to emphasize kind of what a previous speaker said, and what our intention is with going forward with a resolution or a change to the college calendar, in that we're here to represent the student body. And so I agree that I think a greater conversation could be had, but I think those conversations are already happening. Otherwise, this wouldn't have come to the floor. And, yeah, I yield.
Senator Muganga.
For me, what I want to talk about is having them on the same day. I'm not sure if it would be a good idea, because there are two kinds of celebratory moods in the process. Like, one part, they're celebrating the discovery, while the other part, they're still remembering the death. So those are two contrasting moods, and holidays are meant to unify people. So I think it wouldn't be such a good idea.
Do you yield to the diversity chair?
I yield.
The words that it says for Indigenous Peoples Day, yes, I emphasize that it recognizes the deaths that occurred for Native Americans, but it also celebrates Native American culture. So it's celebrating the culture as well as commemorating the deaths.
Senator Martinez.
I kind of just want to state that the conversation is starting, and like, if we pass this motion or whatever, it's a start. So maybe next time, or like in a few some more years, we could completely like get rid of Columbus Day, or maybe just have both of them celebrated at the same time. But it's a start, and yeah, that's just the way I feel about it. I yield the floor.
Senator Gladish.
I just had a question for the diversity chair. So if we were to pass something today that said something, well, regardless of what we passed, and there'd be like a letter drafted to the administration, correct? And then would we have to approve that again, or how would that?
It's really up to the floor. If you want to make a motion to simply have the diversity chair come in contact or go talk to whoever runs the calendar and say, hey, we want this on there, or you could have diversity chair or committee draft a letter to that office and then bring it back to the Senate if you vote on. That's really what I want to do.
I yield.
Senator Dix.
In reference to a previous speaker's position, I don't think I understand the idea of half measure here. As noted as a progression towards a change that we do want to have happen, it's within our power to make a full change if that's what we want to have happen. And if it's a moral distinction towards that, I think we should move with all haste.
Co-President Rasmussen.
So again, right now there's no actual motion on the floor. If somebody feels that something should be done about this, I would recommend making a motion on it, and then that can be discussed, either voted yes or no on, and then if it's voted no, then you can come back and come up with something else, or just leave it be. Senator Sobey.
I move that the diversity chair comes in contact with the person who runs the calendar, but removing any reference to Columbus Day, and instead just have it read this person's day, because I don't think that the half measure is worth it.
Is there a second on the proposed motion?
Second.
The motion, we move into discussion of the motion that the diversity chair contact the administrator of the college calendar and ask that Indigenous Peoples Day replaces Columbus Day on the college calendar.
With the parentheses of federal holiday, so that everyone knows it's federal holiday, that decision should be made to explain that it's not celebrating the federal holiday.
So amended. So moved. Well, so amended and so moved. With that, we will move into discussion of the proposed motion. Yield the floor to Advisor Jonas.
I don't think that there is a title of somebody at the college who's called the administrator of the calendar. Like, I don't think that that exists. You might want to friendly your motion or something. I don't know what, but like marketing has some responsibility, but I don't. I mean, like, there's not really a calendar administrator. Yeah, I mean, I yield, but I don't know if I can yield.
Senator,
who would be the person to get in contact then?
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, like,
let's friendly into marketing.
Do you have the floor, Senator Steve?
I can't yield.
The floor is yours. The floor is
but
yours.
But I got yielded to after the speaker, so the process would be I would yield back to Jonas in the 4 years.
The floor was never mine. I was yielding.
That was a mistake on my part. The floor has always been yours.
I yield.
You would talk to Lori Staples of the marketing office. She's the administrative assistant who would help you with wherever you would need to go from there.
Does anybody have an objection to the friendly motion to add Lori Staples to the event so that she is the recipient of this request to remove Indigenous Peoples Day, or remove Columbus Day from the college calendar and replace it with Indigenous Peoples Day? Any objections? So amended. We are now in discussion of the amended motion. Senator Sobey, the floor is yours.
I motion to call the question because I think most of the debate has already happened previous to the motion.
Second. Yeah, we will now seek a two-thirds majority to end discussion and move into a vote on the motion. All those in favor of ending discussion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Abstentions. We will now move into voting on the motion for the diversity chair to reach out to Lori Staples of marketing to remove Columbus Day from the college calendar and replace it with an additional.
Point of personal privilege. I request a secret ballot.
Secret ballot has been requested.
Can I ask a question? Point of personal privilege. I don't actually know if that's. Tell me if I need to raise my pocket, but this is to actually change it, not to enter a discussion to change it.
This is a vote on the motion.
The motion is to send somebody
over to Lori to change it.
Okay.
Give me one moment to clarify and request for a secret ballot. Are there any objections to a secret ballot vote for this motion? Any objections? If not, we will now cast a secret ballot vote on this motion.
Do you write out your name on the paper?
Please write yes or no on your ballot or abstain.
Yes, meaning.
The motion passes.
Meaning.
The diversity chair will reach out to Lori Siebel's marketing and request that Columbus Day be removed from the college calendar and be replaced with Indigenous People's Day. With a note.
Sorry.
With mention of it being a federal holiday. Motion fails. We move back to discussion on the motion. Back to discussion on the topic from the diversity committee. Senator Sobey, the floor is yours.
I motion. This is.
I move. You guys.
I move to extend the meeting until we adjourn, as opposed to the time constraint that is listed in the bylaws.
After.
Seconded. We will now be voting on whether on extending the meeting to the end of announcements. All those in favor of extending the meeting till the end of announcements, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Abstentions. So extended. Senator Gledge.
I would like to make a I would move.
I move.
To, how do I want to word this? To write a letter, or have the diversity committee draft a letter to write to Lori, what's her last name?
Siebel's.
To include Indigenous Peoples Day with Columbus Day.
Is
that?
Do you want me to write a letter, or do you want me to just go and talk to her?
What was the wording on the last one?
The wording on the previous motion did not specify a method of communication.
I will give the diversity committee whatever they want to do, write a letter, talk to her.
Is there
discretion?
There's a second motion. We will now move to discussion of the motion for the diversity chair to reach out to Lori Siebel's of marketing to add Indigenous Peoples Day to the college calendar.
Do I still have the floor?
You have the floor.
I would like to call the question.
Second question is called. We will now vote on calling the question. All those in favor of calling the question, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Abstentions. We'll now move to a vote on the motion.
For personal privilege, I request a secret ballot.
Secret ballot vote has been requested. Any objections to a secret ballot vote?
They knew it was coming.
No objections. We will prepare for secret ballot vote.
You don't have to stay. You can last.
It's fine.
Some of you every girl we have.
I like
I heard the second one. So I love the theta's there. High five.
Those are all on
the oh, yeah, yeah.
Friday, Sam, myself, met with the Board of Trustees. We presented a number of different things that Senate did at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, what we're working on or hoping to work on, and then just kind of the overall spirit of students on campus. And got good feedback from the board, both at the meeting, after the meeting, when we were mingling with the board members later that afternoon at the X. And didn't have a whole lot of questions, but seemed appreciative of what we had to say.
Are there any questions for Co-President Rasmussen on the presentation to the Board of Trustees? Any questions? Senator Sobey.
Is there a list of specific items mentioned in the presentation?
There is, yes.
Senator Abilene.
Can we get a copy of the presentation sent by email?
It's more of an outline.
Okay.
If you give me a minute, I can pull it up and we can run through it right now. But yeah, we can send you the outline if you do that.
Yeah.
Did it take minutes at the meeting?
No, not that are available to the public.
and send up your email?
I don't know all what's of access to email here, so I don't see them as producing. Specifically to this in the past time.
What if you, just an idea, what if you emailed it out for us to prepare questions for next week?
Yeah.
I would support that.
Any objections to the co-presidents sending out our outline to the board of trustees for questions next week? Any objections? Any objections? Any objections? If not, that is what we will do, so we'll have those to you tonight. Thank you all for that. Any further questions or comments on our presentation to the Board of Trustees? Seeing none, we shall move on to confirmation of committee membership. We will now be moving down the cabinet row and having all the committee chairs briefly remind everybody who is on what committee. We also would like to point out to any senators who applied for application committees. If you're not selected, you're welcome to reach out to any of the committee chairs as soon as possible. To join a committee of your choosing. With that, the Health Housing Chair, did you like to line her members?
Yes. Senator Taven, Senator Martinez, Senator Briggs, Senator Haberman, Senator Lurie, Senator Dagler, Senator Dix, Senator Willing, Senator Hennekamp, Senator Antes, Senator Solbe, and Senator Oppenheim.
Relations Chair Swenson.
On my committee, we have Senator Lamberty and Senator Chandler. So, anybody wants to join public relations, come on over.
Finance Chair Schmitz.
I guess as if you signed up and haven't applied yet, which is everyone except for one person, I would encourage you to apply. The deadline is on Sunday.
Senator Sobey, you have a question?
Yeah, I believe in the Constitution says that all members of finance are subject to a vote by the Senate. So,
thank you. And Senator
Schmitz,
you have a question? And Ombudsperson Svensson, we just went through your appointments.
Yep, just to go over it again, everyone that serves on my committee is Parliamentarian Gunnigal, Speaker Sweet, Student at Large Robbins, Senator Dix, and Senator Abu Eid, and myself.
Technologies Director Mueller.
On my committee, we have Senator Stella, Senator Martinez, and Senator Ricks.
Chair Osberg.
And on the Committee for Student Academic Affairs, we have Senator Hinnenkamp, Senator Ewing, Senator Anderson, Senator Opperman, Senator Abu-Eid, and Senator Muranga.
Chair Singh.
So the diversity committee is composed of Senator Tatum, Senator Rowe, Senator Salah, Peter Teague, and Senator Mingham.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments on committee membership? Chair Svensson.
I would just like to note that if your name was not said twice, the bylaws and constitution require you as a senator to serve on two committees. So if you did not hear your name mentioned twice, please make sure that you sign up for one of the other committees, preferably one that, I suppose.
Finance is just one committee.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if finance, just, that's it.
If you haven't signed up for a second one besides finance, make sure that you sign up for one of the committees. Thank you. Thank you.
Discussion of committee membership. Any further discussion? Discussion. Seeing none, we will move on to a brief discussion of the Arborview representative. Well, President Rasmussen.
So unfortunately, we still do not have a representative from Arborview. We had nobody run for election during the normal elections. And there were a couple of write-in candidates, but none of whom accepted the position. So we've been emailing that residence hall several times, nobody's responded. We at this point might have one person who's interested just in conversation, but we haven't confirmed that yet. So I guess if you know anybody who lives in Arborview, we would hope that you encourage him or
co-president Rasmussen, Senator Sobey.
Wouldn't that person who's interested still need to have a motion?
Yes.
There are questions on the ARPA representative? Questions or discussion? 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 See. Senator Sobey?
I suggest that we all go with our review and just knock on every door and ask if someone wants to be incentive. That might be more useful than anything else.
That wasn't a motion. Okay. Further discussion on the RPR representative? Discussion, discussion, discussion. Seeing none, the floor is open for any further unfinished business. Unfinished business. That, we should move on to new business. Is there any new business to be discussed? Senator Sobey.
I move a resolution to be considered.
Can you read the resolution?
Okay.
Explain the
constitution. Okay. So, do all of you have a copy of the constitution? Can we get one up on the screen?
There's things you can say while we're waiting to get on.
Yeah, I can. So this came out of a email conversation I had with the ombudsperson that in Article 4, Sections 4 and 5, there is no guiding part of the document in case. So 4 and 5 read, in the event of a co-presidential vacancy, the remaining co-president will nominate a student to fill a vacancy subject to confirmation by supermajority 2/3 of the whole Senate. There's currently no guidance as to what would happen should the Senate not approve that nomination, and the ombudsperson stated that if she was ombudsperson, all that happened, most likely ethics would go along with it, that Senate couldn't meet quorum and therefore would have to be out of session. And similarly would apply to Section 5, in the event both co-presidential positions are vacant, that speaker shall fill the vacancy and nominate a student to the other co-presidential position subject to Article 4, Section 4. And it'd just be creating a clause that would be under both sections. We have a degree of guidance in such a dire situation.
A motion was made. Is there a second on the motion? Second goes to Senator Dix. With that, we will move into discussion of the motion. Senator Sobey, Senator Sobey, the floor is yours.
As I just spoke, I think that it.
I was just going to get on the list. I don't
want to
interrupt you.
Go
I'm up first. Okay. Well, I guess the... The resolution hasn't been presented yet, but I've seen it. Typically... Oh, it is up. Excuse me. So... Your hope is to change the Constitution with this.
It'd be creating an addition to the Constitution. There'd be no removal of anything in the Constitution. It would just provide guidance for sections 4 and 5 of Article 4.
So it wouldn't actually write anything in the Constitution?
It'd be additional copy. Yes, it'd be writing in the Constitution. So we'd have to pass somewhere, and then we'd have to pass.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonas, but traditionally when we change the Constitution, it does not come forward as a resolution. This body uses resolutions to make statements to the student body or to the state's community. I would recommend that you would like to make an amendment to the Constitution that would bring forward as a proposed amendment.
Okay.
With writing of exactly what line needs to be added, if anything needs to be struck.
I added everything in there in the adopts portion because there is no specific line number. It's just section number and creating a clause underneath because of this section and then the delineation is clause. And the resolution format is the one mostly used by most organizations.
probably to put it together.
Okay. This body traditionally has not used a resolution in this way. If you choose to do so, I guess.
Would it just be as simple as to turn the resolution out into an amendment? Would that solve that issue?
I will defer that from the request to the ethics chair.
Okay. For those of you who aren't aware of how typically the amendment process goes, typically, like we said, it was mentioned, it typically isn't brought forth in a resolution. Typically, when we write resolutions, those get brought forth in the way where it kind of says, this is a belief that Senate holds. Typically, when we are making amendments, we write it out in the format of what we would like the amendment to be. It doesn't have to be written up as formally as a resolution. It doesn't have to use the same words of acknowledging, affirming, all of that. It doesn't have to do that. Typically, when the amendment is brought forth, it's the exact language and the exact place that you would like it to go within the Constitution. For example, from what you're saying, it would probably be Article 4, Clause 6. Assumably, it would go after the vacancy. That's where you would like to put it. So my personal suggestion would be to bring this back again, written in the proper format, or just a better format for people to see. Another thing that I would like to note is that in consideration of this, this does point out a problem. However, this is not giving a solution to the problem. And so that would be my only hesitation, I would say, between passing this resolution or passing this amendment is that all it does is it's pointing out a flaw within our Constitution. It is not giving.
I apologize, but I defer to you to ask.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Whether or not you thought that friendly motion was appropriate.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
So you know that it's appropriate?
Friendly motion,
from a resolution to a motion.
I would say that that's okay to friendly it from a resolution to a amendment. However, we would have to get the language written up quite quickly if you would like to. And my suggestion for the language would be to have just that part where you say, where you have written Article 4, Sections 4 and 5 of the Constitution in the form of the clause. Perchance to put it in as 6, just to add into the list, and then have it say if the co-presidential vacancy is not filled, then Senate cannot meet quota, and subsequently is out of order. But seeing as you wanted to bring it forth in the sense of amendment, it's just in the wrong format currently. I think that it's completely fine to friendly it into an amendment format.
Floor still belongs to Co-President Rasmussen.
So, another question for you, Senator Sobey. If you're saying if we don't have co-presidents, then we don't need quorum, is that correct?
Correct, because in the Constitution it specifies that there has to be co-presidents. It doesn't specify that they have to be president, but it specifies that there has to be co-presidents.
Where is that?
Composition. Article 3, composition, co-presidents, one co-president will chair each full Senate meeting and will not vote. The other co-president will only cast the vote to break tie. Co-president shall assume the office at the end of the last Senate meeting. Experienced semester, the non-chairing co-president has full speaking privileges. I believe that to be consistent with requiring it as part of the quorum.
So, Congresswoman Svensson, you are the interpreter of constitutional bylaws, but my interpretation of this would be that we need a co-president to be a Senate, but in the absence of both co-presidents, we have in our constitutional bylaws somewhere that the administrative director then takes over, and then I don't know if there's a line of succession after that.
Yeah. there is a.
And so, if there is an opening, then they would take over until, as our constitution says, that spot is filled.
I don't remember seeing that, and if my memory serves, the bylaws are out now.
Point of information, could we possibly move to table this until all further information is provided? Theoretically?
Oh, yes. Yes. You could move that, not.
Yeah, theoretically, yes.
Once you're on the speaker's list.
That being said, I yield it for.
I'm the person sensing.
Okay, the article talking about the, yes, thank you, Princess Session, is actually in the bylaws, and it says Article 8. This is something that was actually brought forth last year, amend the list, but there is a list of succession in place. Like I mentioned before, my hesitation with passing this as an or considering to vote this as a constitutional amendment would be that all this does currently is it points out a flaw that's currently in our constitution. However, it does not offer a solution, and I would personally argue that the constitution's place is to say what we can and cannot do, and it's supposed to give clarity to the whole situation, or say what is supposed to happen and give guidelines and rules. It's not particularly a place to say it's out of is out of order. If it does say that, I would suggest an inclusion of something for a solution to the problem. I would recognize that this technically is a poll because we only have a solution, it appears currently, for if both co-presidents are not there, not in the case of only one co-president not being there and not being able to fill the spot. And then my other thing would be to point to Article 1, Section 10, which defines the full Senate quorum as a majority of all voting seats prescribed in this constitution. Technically, that being quorum, both co-presidents are considered voting parts of the Senate. So quorum, technically, given our current definition, would most likely be defined as there being just a majority of all voting senators. I think that this is a good point, and it points out a definite hole in our current constitution. But like I said, there, if someone would like to amend it before it is considered, I would highly suggest that, and I yield.
Senator Ricks.
I yield.
Senator Dix.
So correct me if I'm misunderstanding this. In case of a co-presidential position vacancy, what this does is say that if the other co-president's nominee fails confirmation by the Senate cannot be held until a new nomination has been made. Or is that not the case? Because this falls under the article, which is impeachment, resignation, and vacancy. When it talks about a co-presidential vacancy, it doesn't talk about someone not being here. It talks about the position not being held by a person anymore.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
We do not need to have either of our co-presidents present at a meeting to have quorum.
This is not related to if either of you are physically here. This relates to if either of you holds office and there's not another person holding the office of co-president.
I do not believe we need to have both. I believe that would be the same situation. If you're looking at the composition of student senate in the Constitution, technically our composition includes our review representative, which is not represented right now. So if you're going off the idea of if we're missing one of our positions in our composition, we don't hold quorum, then technically we wouldn't be able.
That's what I'm clarifying, but that's what this resolution states, in particularly to the president. Because article, or section 4, in the event of a co-presidential vacancy, the main co-president will nominate a student to fill the vacancy subject to confirmation by a supermajority of 2/3 of the full Senate. So that's saying that, let's say, you fall terribly ill, sadly, and can no longer fill your position, then co-president Panzer would have to nominate someone. Then what this says is that in the eventuality, or if, then that person does not pass confirmation, then we would not hold Senate until a new nominee could be brought forward and confirmed. That would be a continuing pattern until someone gets through confirmation.
That's what I think that says. The problem is if you can't hold Senate until you can hold Senate, you can't hold Senate. So I think that there's a logic chain flaw in the proposal. If once the Senate doesn't approve the nominee, it means that there can be no.
Yeah, I'm just clarifying that that's what it says in a plain sense.
Yeah, I think that's what it says.
Okay, then I yield the floor.
Senator Sobe, Co-President Rask will be yielding a series of questions. Do you think that the Arbor View Senator is an integral part of Senate as the co-presidents are? Does your statement imply that the Arbor View Senator was not as valid,
No, I would say that every single member of Senate is a very integral, holds a very integral part of this body. I would say that my statement was that if you were falling under the belief that if we have one piece missing from the composition as defined by our Constitution, makes us not at quorum, then technically we would not be at quorum right now.
Can I ask where in the proposed amendment Arbor View is mentioned? Because
hey, Holden, what does it have to do with your resolution?
It's having to do with clarifying and making a point.
So does it make sense to, I mean, I'm happy for you to question Bobby, but does it make sense for you to just make the point that you disagree with something Bobby said?
I mean, isn't that what politics is? Is that someone says something that you disagree with, and then you expound upon why you disagree with them and why people
yeah,
should
so
vote?
Yeah, so I'm just wondering if it might be faster for you to just say what it is that you disagree with Bobby, what Bobby said.
I wanted to clarify, though, because I wasn't entirely sure.
Thank you.
No further questions. Considering that the proposed legislation specifically mentions the co-presidents and nothing of the senators, I don't see the point as it all being relevant because the co-presidents get to decide the agenda, they get to decide basically most of the things that are that the body does. And that the whole point, although, and I also disagree with the ombudsperson because it is a solution in the sense that we don't want Senate to not meet, so it gives Senate further incentive to make sure that Senate meets. Like if there's no possible way, then we have to figure that out.
Senator Hinnikin.
With the lack of information and the hemming and hawing that I have seen through this entire
germane
motion,
I'm gonna rule it germane but ask that you refrain from causing a conversation.
I move to table the current motion in question until further information is gathered to no later than the next scheduled Senate meeting.
Second. There was a second on the motion to table this motion until the following Senate meeting, which will be next Monday. So we will now proceed to discussion of this motion. Is there any discussion on the motion to table until our next meeting? Discussion? 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 If not, we will move to a vote. All those in favor of tabling the present motion until our following meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Abstain. So moved. The motion is tabled until the next meeting. With that, the floor is now open for further new business. Senator Dix.
I starting to send out a monthly email to all students highlighting things that we have passed here in Senate and how that applies to students. Keep it short, 250, 400 words. Just what we passed and how it affects them.
Is there a second on the motion? Subject goes to Senator Ricks. That we'll move into discussion of the motion to charge the public relations chair with crafting a monthly statement of relative, it's okay, but it's a brief length on what Senate has accomplished that month and how it relates to the student body. So discussion on the motion, Senator Sope. Sorry, my apologies, the floor belongs to Senator Dicks. Senator Sope.
I came up with this proposal of Senator Dicks, and the purpose of it is that it seems like students generally don't know what Senate is doing until it's a crisis, and that if we were able to send out something, you know, relatively succinct about what we've done, as opposed to like what we've talked about, because that would end up being the minutes. Nobody wants to read the minutes. So that it could be short, succinct, and we already have, it's within the purview of Senate, because we can already email mass alias, and I encourage you all to pass this charge. Thank you.
Senator Lewin.
Call the question.
We will now vote on calling to question. All those in favor of calling to question, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Question is called. We shall now vote on the motion to charge the Public Relations Committee with crafting a monthly statement of a brief length on what Senate has done in the month prior to be sent to the entire student body. All those in favor of passing the said motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Abstentions? So moved. We shall now re-enter new business. Senator Sobe.
I move to charge the PR committee with finding some way that we can show that Senate is meeting tonight and showing where it is, because a lot of people have no idea that A, Senate meetings are open, B, that it's in the boardroom, and C, that it's on Monday night at 7. So it'd be as simple as like a sandwich board or something put out in front of our door, like in the morning, by a senator or a co-president, and just have it point out that this is happening tonight. You're welcome to attend, you're welcome to speak, you can comment.
Could you slightly rephrase
in a
solution?
A physical something.
Not digital.
Representation.
Yes, a physical representation of Senate meeting that day that would be put out in the hallway in front of Senate.
By physical, do you mean that digital is not allowed? This is not.
I don't think that it's useful for the purpose that I have.
Thank you. Is there a second on the proposed motion? Second goes to Senator Ricks. We shall now enter discussion on the motion to charge the Public Relations Committee with creating a weekly physical representation and reminder to the student body that the Student Senate is meeting in the boardroom and a reminder of the existence of community comment. Any discussion on the motion? Senator Antis.
What exactly would we have on the board? Would we merely put that it's happening, or would we include the agenda?
To who do you direct your question?
I suppose Senator Sobe.
As I said, it'd be a charge to the PR committee, so they would decide what all gets on there, because you don't want lots of tiny print everywhere, because you want to be big and bold. So it'll be at the purview of the committee. I do.
Senator Abouid.
I call the question.
Second calling question. We will now vote on calling to question the present discussion of the motion. All those in favor of calling to question, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Abstentions? Question is called. We shall now move to a vote on the charge for the Public Relations Committee to create a weekly reminder in physical presence in this building somewhere to the student body of detailing Senate's meeting location, time, and the existence of community comment. All those in favor of the proposed motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Abstentions? So moved. The floor is now reopened for further new business. New business. Seeing none, we shall progress into announcements. I'm the person, Svensson.
all goes more smoothly. Wait to raise your placard until after the question is called. That is just one of the common rules is you are supposed to wait until the cheering co-president says any questions or comments or anything like that. Then you are allowed to raise your placard. Another thing is, and I know that I personally did this today, but if the floor is yielded to you, make sure you just answer the question. Don't use yield of the floor to explain a point that you could have said easier when the floor is yours. And my last point is that you don't need to call the question every time. That actually takes longer. If you just, if you're the last person on the speaker's list, you can say yield, and then the co-presidents will mostly just likely say further questions, 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 and then bang the gavel rather than having to go through the full process of voting on calling to question. And so that will just speed up everything and make this all smoother. And besides that, make sure that you are drinking plenty of fluids. Everyone is starting to get sick right now. So please make sure that you are taking care of yourself as it becomes stressful and gets closer to midterms, and I yield.
Technologies Director Mueller.
All right, if you guys ever have anything that you want to bring up at Senate that would require it getting put on the screen, if you could send it to me ahead of time, and then I can have it all prepared and ready to go, so you don't have to go through this whole process that we have to go through today. That would be great. So, thanks for that. I yield.
Senator Lewing.
It's just a shameless self-plug. As Peter says, since we're hosting SNL tonight, or not tonight, Saturday night, folks around kind of growing self-esteem, so emotional, mental well-being, we're going to have 80 pizzas and 300 cupcakes, so if you guys can help eat our food, that would be super cool. So with my diet for you.
Senator Sobe.
So today, I represented Senate on the Org Recognition Committee. We approved everything from a purely devoted to beards and their maintenance to a political campaign to a honorary botanical society and the first ever gender inclusive fraternity sorority. I don't know how exactly they want to be called, but the first gender neutral Greek chapter. They're in the process of that, as well as there was a lot of new Greek life I came through today, so that was really cool. And then other than that, shameless plug from campus safety, be safe, weather's gonna start to get cold soon. I've known students at Gustavus who have lost toes to frostbite. Frostbite's never fun. Be safe when you drink. Give it my time.
Chair Singh.
I just want to remind everyone to go to the Nobel Conference next week. Everyone's going to be, well, not everyone, a lot of the speakers will be here on Monday night, so be sure to be on your best behavior and know that there are people that are really famous and well-known that will be looking at Gustavus, and we want to represent our school in the best way possible. So get out there and learn something.
First of all, I would like to submit a thank you to Senator Sobe for representing Student Senate on the Organization Recognition Committee. I really appreciate your time and willingness to step in there. Second, I apologize for not fitting this in earlier, but we would also like to recognize the presence of our newest senator, Mason Stolt from Prairie View Hall. My apologies. So there are a few elections that were unresolved. This one was a tie between write-in candidates that had to be, and then because of the Constitution and bylaws around elections, the timeline had to have the election finish after the close of last Monday's meeting. So thank you, Senator Stoll, for being here with us tonight. And then third, we do have a meeting on Monday, even though that is Nobel's Eve. So we apologize for that, but it's not an official holiday, so we will indeed be meeting. That I yield. The floor is now reopened for announcements. 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 Seeing none. Meeting adjourned.